Guys, Patreon. Patreon.com/MatthewDonald. Bonus content for both my shows, The Ritwit and Paleo Bites. This month we're talking about King Kong. Link is in the description. Thank you for your support. Have a good day. Efficiency. Isn't it great? Oh, it's King Kong 2005. The Peter Jackson one. Damn it, so much for efficiency.
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast so gross and full of sludge it doubles as a predator trap. My name is Matthew Dahl, and each week I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and raid the genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week I'm joined by someone that escaped from the government, learned all the secrets, and was mind-wiped.
Wait, we talk about this?
Oh, yeah, and now I'm going to get mind-wiped here in a bit. It's Natasha Crack, how are you?
I'm doing well. So, this place is secure, right?
Yeah. So you managed to get your memories back, huh? You went to the memory restoration machines and...
We better not talk about that for the security of our listeners.
Yeah, the things, though, the things.
The things. The many things that the Foundation hides.
Turns out the world is not round. It's not flat either, Fat Earthers.
Apparently it's pear-shaped, it's like Columbus thought it was.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. And the moon is banana-shaped. We're just seeing it at a weird angle.
Right.
Yeah.
Funny reflections. They've got all the funny mirrors up there. All the funny mirrors. You just can't see them.
Yeah. And
stealth technology.
Ooh, do you know who killed JFK?
Oh, better not reveal that.
Oh, wow.
They keep an ear everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And
this is, guys, this is a podcast about the paleo diet. That's why it's called Paleo Bites. You have nothing to fear from us.
Eat your cookies.
That's not a paleo diet.
Some cookies are paleo, though.
Really? I don't think they make cookies back in Neolithic times.
Eat your cookies.
Or Paleolithic times, I apologize. So, okay, yeah, I guess that's true. You know, I never got those diets, so it's like, oh, you know, you gotta be all natural. And it's like, you know, we also died a lot eating stuff back then. Look, this is not a very common stance, so I get this, and I get the argument against it. I prefer processed foods over organic foods, and I get this is weird, and I get that I shouldn't, but it's purely because organic foods can go wrong really easily, while processed foods are made to perfection in the factories, and they're all exactly the same as each other.
Clearly, you've never been near a sugar beet factory.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Okay.
It's just a lot of those sugars come from beets, and a sugar beet factory reeks to high heavens.
Yeah.
There's one out in Sterling.
Okay, I need to avoid those. I just, some people are like, I don't like that my food is made from a factory. I'm like, I love it. It's so perfect. It's made
so
exactly the same every time.
I tend to have a neutral stance on that.
Yes.
Some organics are good. Like, I've got a garden.
Yes.
I will be getting squash, pumpkins,
mm-hmm.
onions, green beans out of my garden.
Wow, okay.
I love to browse a local farmer's market.
Yeah.
Because I know that the fruit and veg was well cared for and is supporting my local farmers.
Right, yes.
Processed foods do serve a purpose. I eat them because often they're convenient.
Yes.
We can debate to no end about how good they are.
Yeah, and how healthy they are for you, the ethicalness of it, the ethics of it, you know.
Yeah, we can debate that in circles. But with all those crazy diets out there, good grief, people. My only stance on that is, please be safe.
Yes.
Please be safe. Whether you're trying to gain weight, lose weight, maintain a weight, please, please, please be safe about it.
I'm trying to focus on my diet a bit better because I just had my uncle. It's been long since this episode comes out, but just as I was recording this, my uncle just died, and he had very high cholesterol and had a heart attack. And he was a couple of years younger than my mom, so my mom's not doing great, but makes me think, like, I gotta probably eat better and make sure my cholesterol isn't that high. Like, I every time I go to get a health checkup, and I'm gonna get another one here soon, they usually say I'm pretty good. The only thing that's a bit high is my triglycerides.
Uh-huh.
So, and it's only a bit high, but that's still something I should probably work on.
Well,
so.
And you can consult your medical professional about how to better manage that for you as an individual.
Yes.
But some of those crazy diets out there, they make claims that might not work for every individual.
No, but then they're like, oh, this is all natural. Also, don't use vaccines. Use essential oils.
Essential oils are good for one thing. They smell good.
They do smell really good.
And sometimes a placebo effect in the right place can be a good thing.
I've gotten drunk off of chocolate milk because of the placebo effect. Have I told you that story?
No, you haven't.
Okay. Okay. So after I broke up with, you know, our mutual friend Lacey, I you know, it was mutual reasons, and we're fine. Now we're still friends. In fact, I'm seeing her next week. So
nice.
But when we broke up, I felt really sad, and I was at this house in college where we had 6 roommates, and so we had a lot of parties on Friday. And so I was telling people during the first Friday after we broke up that I was drinking my sorrows away. And I don't drink, so I drink a little now, but I didn't drink at all back then. And I had a bottle of Nesquik chocolate milk that I had gotten from a gas station. And I was like, I'm going to drink my sorrows away. And so I kept saying that over and over again, drinking my Nesquik milk. And as the night went on, I started having slurred speech. I started swaying. I started getting drowsy. I couldn't focus. I was getting all the symptoms of being drunk, or at least tipsy, but with chocolate milk that was not spiked. I would have tasted it.
That's how the placebo effect works.
Yeah, so, like, someone even did the test for me, though. They hold the finger up to my nose, and I couldn't focus on it.
Wow.
Like, I was talking like this, man. I can totally drive. Give me the keys. Give me the keys.
I mean, yeah, that's the perfect description of the placebo effect.
Yes.
I'm no medical professional, but I know enough about it to say that was definitely the placebo.
Yes, it was. They should have sicked a bear against me then. And speaking of which, best segue, yes. All right, we're talking about Arctidus, the short-faced bear is what it's actually more known as. Arctidus just means bear. Like, it just means bear. We'll get to how that means in other things, too. But, like, the short-faced bear is its nickname, so that's why I'm calling this episode, too. Type is a Trimarctinae ursid, a subgroup family of bears whose only living representative is a South American spectacled bear.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Size, 5 to 6 feet, just 1.5 to 1.8 meters tall when on all fours. 8 to 12 feet, 2.5 to 3.7 meters tall, went up on its hind legs.
So it's giving polar bears and grizzly bears a run for their money.
Oh, yeah, easily. 1,200 to 2,600 pounds, or 550 to 100 to 1,200 kilograms.
Nice.
This was a big bear.
It was a bear.
Like a real big hairy gay person. Anyway. Okay. Diet, omnivore, like most bears. Some scientists disagree on its diet, though. Some say it was a hypercarnivore with 95% of its diet consisting of meat. The others say its skull and teeth match modern omnivorous bears like the Alaskan brown bear, and thus had a similar diet to that. Either way, I'm not messing with this thing.
It's better not to mess with a bear.
Yeah, especially a big bear.
Any bear.
Any bear, but yes, especially a big bear. And also, even, like, some people will think that baby bears are cute, and they are cute, but some people think they're cuddly. Even if it let you cuddle with it, its fur is surprisingly rough.
Yes.
Like it's not soft at all.
Nope.
Like a lot of people think, like, oh, teddy bear. No, it's not.
Nope, that fur is rough to keep out a lot of things.
It feels like straw, I've heard. Like, yeah, so you even if you could snuggle with a baby bear, and sometimes you can, if, like, it's a domestic, if it's, like, a zoo baby or something, or it's, like, the mother is not there or something, and...
Only in the zoos or wildlife sanctuaries where they're allowing it.
Yeah, there's been a time where I was on a bus at, like, a park in South Dakota, and they brought a baby bear cub up on the bus, and that was cute, but...
That's cool.
Yeah, but anyways, so... Time mid-Pleistocene to early Holocene, 1.8 to 11,000 years ago. 1.8 million to 11,000 years ago, I should say.
So it was interacting to a degree with humans.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Location, North America. It was described in 1854 pop culture appearances, Ark Survival Evolved, or it's known in-game as the Dire Bear. Jurassic World the Game, of course.
Of course.
And Jurassic Fight Club, where it fought and killed an American lion. Yeah, that's two appearances in things with the words Jurassic in
of
the title.
Course.
Newsflash, this thing was not Jurassic.
Nope.
Geologically speaking, it's basically as close to the Jurassic as we are. Do I qualify for Jurassic Fight Club? If so, please keep me the hell away from it. So, hey, you know how we've talked about how terrifying bears are on this show? Yeah, here's the most terrifying bear of all. Arctidus, the short-faced bear, was the ultimate bear in evolution, reaching incredible heights and able to disembowel any poor caveman dumb enough to mess with them in a myriad of violent and horrifying ways. This thing was big. Like, big, big. Like, when standing on all fours, it could look a human adult right in the eye.
Which is actually pretty frightening.
Yeah. And when standing upright, it could get up to 12 freaking feet tall. And in fact, some claw marks in a cave in Missouri attributed to this bear were 15 feet above the ground. Holy shit!
That's an impressive bear!
Yeah, it was an impressive bear indeed. Like, this thing was terrifying. Look, I know bears are beautiful creatures that tend to leave people alone and can be gentle and whatnot, but seriously, when a bear wants you dead,
you're dead.
There's nothing you can do. It will kill you, and it will brutally kill you.
Uh-huh.
If you want to survive, you got to make sure you never piss off a bear, for the bear will constantly remind you how stupid an idea that was in painful, painful ways. This thing, you probably wouldn't be atomically sound after an angry Arctidus is done with you.
No.
Am I exaggerating? Probably, but still, bears are terrifying.
Not really. I mean, I read a report where land surveyor, he was out in Alaska. Mm-hmm. He made the mistake of going alone.
Yeah.
Grizzly bear decided it was sick of him.
Did he
survived.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah.
But those wounds, from what I could see in the picture, those were ugly.
Oh, yeah, they got sharp claws.
The grizzly bear just batted aside his surveying pole and
like,
had
even
a spike.
Even if it doesn't use its claws, it's sheer muscle power.
It
could do is just shove you and you could get some ruptured internal organs.
And a few broken ribs at the same time.
Even
out here in Colorado where we only have black bears,
mm-hmm.
you're told never to underestimate them.
Oh, yeah.
I've encountered one from a safe distance.
Yeah.
On my first solo trip.
Oh, God.
Here's the thing, though. When you grow up with people who like hunting and hiking,
yeah,
you learn a little bit about the wilderness.
Yes.
You learn never turn your back on a bear.
Yes.
Never try to run from a bear.
Yes.
Never try to out-climb a bear.
Never try to out-swim a bear.
No.
Never try to out-anything a bear.
The biggest thing you can do when you see a bear, even from a distance, is just to remain calm.
Yeah.
If you see a cub, try to calmly go the other way.
Yeah, and look the way, like back away.
Yeah, back away.
Yeah.
Because if you run away, you are prey.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
You turn your back and run, you are prey. Stand your ground is what you're told.
You're a threat, then.
Yeah. With black bears, you're told that you can intimidate them if you use your size.
Yeah, like hold your arms up, puff out your chest.
Yeah,
you know?
Make yourself look big.
Yeah,
make
exactly.
Make it look like you're too much effort.
But yeah, for other bears, though, that doesn't work. It's like, hello, look at me.
Nope.
You think you're big, look at me.
I'm
a mother effing bear.
I've seen a few shows that deal with the Alaskan wilderness.
Yeah.
People carry shotguns.
Oh, yeah.
With very, very solid, they try to start non-lethal.
Yeah. I feel like a bear is tough enough. If you shot it, depending on where you shot it, it could still easily survive.
It really would depend where, but those hides are thick. But
yeah.
In Alaska, you have to carry a firearm.
Yeah.
I don't care what your stance on firearms is. If you're going into the Alaskan woods, you carry a firearm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because there are grizzly bears. And as much as I love wolves, there are wolves.
And yeah, there are
Moose.
Oh, God.
There are animals that can and will take you out if you piss them off.
Yes, so don't piss them off.
Even if you don't piss them off, if they're hungry, you know, an apex predator's not going to turn its nose up at what looks like a squishy meat sack.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I probably wouldn't be good because I'm fat. I'm not that fat, but I've got some fat on me, and so I've got some meat on me, and so it's like, Okay, so despite its moniker of short-faced bear, the apparent shortness of the face of Arctidus is rather misleading. They have deep snouts and somewhat short nasal bones, but their face isn't actually shorter than most modern bears, only deeper.
Ah.
So, and these features are shared with its closest living relative, the spectacled bear. So if you look at that one's face, you can get a general idea of the face of Arctidus. So that's kind of interesting. There was a lot of variance in the sizes of individual Arctidus skeletons, and like modern bears, they tend to get bigger the further north they are.
Well, that does make sense, though, that they have to carry the extra weight for the extra fat.
Yep.
For the lean times.
Exactly. It had a wide range, reaching as far north as Alaska and as far south as Mexico.
That's an impressive range.
Yeah.
That is actually also the historic range of grizzly bears in the United States.
That's true. Not so much now, though. You said historic, though, so.
Historic, yes, because of humans.
Well, you know, the ranges of a lot of things were a lot bigger than they were now.
Or I should say pre-colonial America.
Yeah, exactly.
Excuse me.
Yes, exactly, yes. Because, like, you know how, like, in medieval artwork, you see, like, lions sometimes or anything? It's because lions were in Europe.
They were.
Back then. Like, now they're just confined to certain parts of Africa. But back then, there were lions and cheetahs and I think even hyenas, like, in some parts of Europe.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Like, yeah.
They knew what these animals were, even when they weren't traveling outside of Africa.
Right, exactly. So,
I mean, we in the United States are no stranger to big cats either.
Yeah.
The jaguar used to have quite the range.
Yeah, didn't it? You can, I think sometimes if you're really quote-unquote lucky, you can see a jaguar like in southern Texas.
Yes.
So.
You have to be so stupidly lucky. It's like winning the lotto.
Winning the lotto of seeing a big and deadly cat.
Well, compared to a mountain lion, a jaguar's a bit smaller.
That's true. Wait, really?
I thought
mountain lions are smaller.
I think it's the jaguar that's...
Jaguars are maybe bulkier.
Probably.
Yeah, like they're more muscular. They might weigh more, but they might not be as long. I don't know.
It might be.
Because mountain lions are leaner, I think.
They are lean, and they are considered dangerous.
Yeah.
They're a beautiful cat.
Oh, yeah, no.
I've never seen one in the Colorado woods.
There have been a few. In fact, there was one really close to our house recently. They said someone spotted one in a neighborhood that was way too close to ours. In fact, we've walked there before.
Oh,
like,
wow.
There, like, for just having a walk with the dogs before. And for the longest time, our dog wouldn't go outside.
I mean,
he probably smelt him.
Yeah, your dog could probably smell him.
So we got one pretty close. Like, so, but I'm not particularly afraid. Like, cause stay in the house, like, and, like, if you see one.
Grab your camera or your binoculars.
Yeah, and also if it threatens you, which it probably wouldn't, it's not there to pick a fight. The only reason it would threaten you and chase you is if you were close to, like, its den, if it had babies.
They will defend their babies.
Yeah, but...
But they are also not afraid to take out a human. There have been attacks.
There have been attacks, but I feel like there has to be a reason. Like,
generally,
you have to be, like, really driving them insane, you know?
You really do. For the,
like,
most part, animal attacks are logical.
You have to be aggravating them, yeah. They're not just going to attack you for no reason, so... But like most of Pleistocene megafauna, the biggest threat to this thing was climate change, specifically the warming period at the end of the Ice Age. This killed most of its prey, changed the environment to something that could not sustain it, and of course let those blasted humans take over. And thus ends the tale of Arctidus, the short-faced bear, except it wasn't short-faced as we specified.
But it does have a modern descendant, which is cool.
It does. Well, I don't know if it's descendant, but like cousin, I guess.
Ah.
Like, it's in the same family of bears as it's. That's pretty cool. A fun fact to end on, though, and some people might not be aware of this. You know how I said earlier that Arctidus means bear?
Yes.
And that genus name might remind you of the word Arctic, right?
Yes.
Because that actually means bear.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, Arctic means bear. Conversely, Antarctic means no bears. And that's how you know which side of the world has polar bears on it. So, that's a fun fact. I learned that in college, I think I learned that. I was like,
oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, the Arctic comes from bear, and Antarctic means no bear. Because there's no polar bears and penguins together in the wild. That's why I always like it in, like, Santa things where they have, you know, polar bears or other Arctic creatures. They use puffins instead of penguins.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because they look like penguins, kind of. Especially if they're done stylized, like, and like that. So, also, it's the origin of the name Arthur and why King Arthur is often associated with bears.
Nice. There's actually a, these days it's somewhat obscure, a online game called Wizard 101.
Oh yeah, I think
there's
I've heard
a world called Avalon, and they pick their depiction of Arthur is a bear.
Makes sense.
His name is Arcturus.
Arcturus, and that's like, yeah, that means bear too, and that's also star too. So, so yeah, good stuff.
I mean, bears are cool animals.
They are. They really are. So let's rate this cool animal 1 out of 65 million, shall we?
We shall.
Yeah. What are we going to rate it?
What are we going to rate it?
I don't know, like 55 million?
I was going to say, a solid 55 is a good place for this bear.
Yeah, like, it loses points for, I don't know, just still being a bit scary. And also, like, this is something that if you saw it in modern times, it would be scary, but wouldn't, like, blow your mind with how different it is, like some prehistoric creatures. So.
And you might even mistake it for a grizzly bear, polar bear hybrid.
Yeah, you just see it as, like, a giant grizzly or polar bear, yeah. So.
I mean, it's still a cool bear.
Yeah, but it's still really cool, so that's...
It would be one of the few things in modern times it could challenge a moose and win.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can see that. I was about to say, don't wolverines actually go after moose? But no, they go after caribou, so...
They'll go after a caribou.
Yeah, moose, that's a bit much. Wolverines, yeah, though, are...
Wolverines are tenacious.
They are. Well,
they are tenacious little creatures.
All mustelids are way too mean for them. Even otters have some of a mean streak.
Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah, so... All right, well, that's it for this week. If you want to get the whole show, you can contact me at mattd@matthewdonaldcreator.com. For any general questions to either co-host, you can have Natasha here talk about some of her stories with... going out in the woods and seeing some bears. I'm sure she'd love to relay them if you ask through the email. You can find me on social media at Mathodon Creator on Facebook, at Mathodon64 on Twitter, and Mathodon64 on Instagram. And I have a book series on Amazon Megazoic available for print and Kindle with dinosaurs and laser guns, so obviously no short-faced bears in it. Be kind of cool, though. And also I have another podcast called The Ritz Wits, where two twits talk about writing/writing. It's actually about writing. I need to stop saying it's about writing, because people don't know what it's about then, I think. Maybe they do. I don't know. All right, well, that's it for this week. As I say at the end of every episode of Paleo Bites... You know that thing they do sometimes where they roar and they kind of stick their lips out? Like... Oh, he's a happy bear.
Sometimes I wonder why people put up with us.
Why, do they? I don't know if they do.